This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
We have convened here in the right place, the Treasury Department. We have got to tell Elon Musk nobody elected your ass.
Well, sorry to start the show out with that voice, but that is Maxine Waters. She was part of the protest yesterday in Washington, I think outside of the Treasury building. And, of course, they've now targeted their ire at Elon Musk. Of course, who they're really mad at is Donald Trump. But the news keeps breaking so quickly, it's kind of hard to keep up with. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're going to get to all these stories for you. We got Taylor Riggs coming up from Fox Business here at the bottom of the hour. Well, maybe we'll talk more about some of the tariff threats that have gone on. But right now, I want to welcome in John Solomon. Great to have him back. Investigative journalist, founder of Just the News. And justthenews.com is the website. John, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, good to be with you.
Yeah, they don't even know what to do. The resistance is, they got shots coming at them from all directions.
That's right. Now listen, Donald Trump's strategy was to flood the zone with so much action that the Democrats wouldn't know what to react to or how to react to it in real time. And it's a sort of shock and awe political policy raid on Washington. And by the time the Democrats get their act together, Washington will have been fundamentally changed. It's already fundamentally changed in just 2 weeks of the Trump presidency. USAID in the process of being shut down. That's an agency that Republicans and conservatives have complained about for 40 years, but no one ever got it done. Donald Trump got it done. 10,000 workers late last night, getting notices that they've been put on leave, and if you're overseas, come home. The once independent agency now being put under the State Department, just one of many, many changes occurring in real time in Washington right now. The Democrats will take months to get their messaging right, and by that time, Washington will have been changed, both by President Trump and also follow-up legislation by Congress. It's going to codify everything that Trump has done by executive order.
Boy, I hope so. You know, John, I'm watching the news conference yesterday. Of course, the president drops the bomb about taking control of Gaza, and yeah. I'm envisioning a Trump Tower there in downtown Gaza, you know, facing the ocean. And yeah. I'm thinking to myself, he's doing this to try to get into their heads, right, and kind of break their willpower. I mean, the logistics of actually the United States controlling that strip of land, it's hard to imagine.
Yeah, listen, it could theoretically be called a security zone for a period of time until it can be rebuilt. The UN could, UN or U.S. or someone could play a role in that. You're right. It's more than, I think it's even more than getting in their head. I think it's also sending a very strong message that for 40 years, Gaza has been a symbol of failure, a symbol of violence, a symbol of hatred. And the only way to break that cycle is to do something really dramatic, which is you're not going back there. We're going to build something different there, and we're going to resettle the Palestinians in a new area. That sends a shockwave to the Palestinians that the normal course of, all right, make an incremental deal and then start violence again to get more, is ended. It's not going to happen again. And by the way, your longtime supporters in Iran aren't going to have the money to support you anymore. So get on board with this new plan. It's going to be a lot better. And I think at the end of the day, the art of the deal starts at one point and it ends somewhere else. I'm sure the final deal on Gaza will be something different. But it's designed to force change in a cycle of failure that really has carried on for over a half century.
You think about all that's happened already, John, just in the first couple of weeks since Trump was sworn in, and it's full speed ahead, right? Do you think that this momentum will continue, that we're going to be seeing this much happening so quickly for some time now? Or you think that it's just all at once kind of to get things rolling?
Yeah, I do. I think it's going to be the first 1,200 days. In other words, more than 3 years of this. It's just nonstop. Donald Trump knows he's got 4 years to get 8 years of an agenda done. He has a tireless and boundless energy, and he is going to just run at this pace for two reasons. One, he has a sense of urgency. He realizes the country could be faltering if these changes don't make occurring quickly. And two, he knows that the Democrats can't move quick enough to counter him. And so the quicker he gets the work done, the quicker he can change the country, and the harder it is to reverse it down the line. And I think that that's going to be. Now, there'll be slowdowns. The courts may slow some of this down, as it did in the Biden administration. I think the strategy, this is a really important thing for Americans to focus on. Trump's going to do everything by executive order. The Democrats and liberals are going to say, well, he doesn't have the executive power to do that. And while those things are starting in the courts, with the Democrats' hope that it'll stop, and Congress will come in and say, well, we're authorizing the president to do this. And that will undercut a lot of the court cases very quickly. That 1-2 punch, if Donald Trump can pull that off with Mike Johnson and John Thune, will solidify change for a long time, meaning it's going to be very hard for a Democrat president in the future to reverse this. Now, getting that done has not always been easy in Washington, even when Republicans have had all the control. But right now, there's a synchronicity that I haven't seen. I've been in Washington 35 years. I've never seen a synchronicity between the administration and Congress like this right now.
Well, that's good news. John Solomon, our guest, of course, founder of JustTheNews.com, and he's got a weekly John Solomon Reports podcast. You can listen to new content every Tuesday and Thursday on there as well. I want to play a bite from President Trump yesterday when he was in the Oval Office before the news conference with Bibi Netanyahu.
The whole thing with $100 million spent on you-know-what, with money going to all sorts of groups that shouldn't deserve to get any money, with the money, I'd like to see what the kickbacks are. How much money has been kicked back? Who would spend that kind of money to some of the things that you read about and I read about and I see every night on the news and every morning when I read the papers? Who would spend money for that? I would say this, the people that got all that money, are they kicking it back to the people that gave it from government? No, that's, to me, very, very corrupt.
Yeah, I'd love to have you address that, John, because when I look at some of these programs, they seem so outrageous, and yet we know that some of this stuff is targeted and actually helps U.S. interests.
Yeah, listen, there is, foreign aid plays a vital and valuable role if it's targeted to the interests of the United States. When it's targeted to the interest of political and social engineering of one tiny fraction of America, the far left of America, it doesn't carry out our agenda, and it oftentimes creates resentment in the world. And so when you try to force DEI or drag shows on countries that whose culture don't embrace that, it is not only counterproductive to American interest, it is a waste of money for American taxpayers. And that's what Donald Trump is talking about. And by the way, these warnings about USAID have been decades in the making. I went back 20 years ago looking at some reporting I did a long time ago. USAID was funding frivolous things 20 years ago. It has had numerous efforts of fraud. And a very big story we broke 2 days ago, which is just before Donald Trump started this with Elon Musk, the Inspector General of the USAID, the internal watchdog, put out a memo saying, you know what, USAID management doesn't vet its grants and contracts to make sure it's not, the money's not going to terrorism or to people who previously defrauded the United States. Now, think about that. That's like basic 101 spending. They have failed to protect the American taxpayer for a long time. They have just moved money out the door to make one small segment of society, the far left, happy. And that's what Donald Trump is putting his foot down and saying, no more.
Yeah. You know, he's changed the paradigm in a lot of ways, and I don't know if the left knows exactly how to deal with it. I did hear Charlie Hurt on Fox last night saying that 100 years from now, when they're looking back at all the statues we put up to Donald Trump, kids may not grasp what a groundswell movement this was.
Yeah, I think you have it exactly right. This is an extraordinary moment in history. It's unlike anything in the last 50 years of American experience. We'd probably have to go back earlier. There's probably been other times where such assertive change has occurred. But in the American modern experience, nothing has ever occurred like this. And I think at the end of the day, people will wake up 4 years from now and realize that America's not only fundamentally changed, it feels more like the America we grew up in and then felt like it got squandered or stolen from us. It'll feel normal again. And just having a sense of normalcy in America is something we've really been craving since 9/11. Yeah. We've really had an identity and experiential crisis in America. If we get our finances under under control, if we get our economy under control, if we rebuild our capacity to manufacture here, America will have a very bright future. And as Donald Trump has said many times, he wants us to be the golden era of America. That process is well underway, constructing towards it.
Yep, it's a great point. John Solomon, always great to have you on, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, great honor to be on your show. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. JustTheNews.com. John Solomon Reports is his podcast that they put a new episode out every Tuesday and Thursday. He's had Eric Burleson on there. He's got a lot of great guests, several of the same people that we get on the air here. So that's good. He's right. It's a paradigm shift. 35 years he's been up there in D.C. covering this, and he's never seen anything quite like it. Coming up, we're going to get to Taylor Riggs. Always love having her on from the Fox Business Network. Maybe she's covering Super Bowl stuff this morning, for all I know. But I do want to ask her about these tariffs. And the Chinese supposedly slapped their tariff on. Where are you going to see that? Why? You know, it's got obviously nothing to do with egg prices. But we'll find out where she thinks the impact might hit. For you and me. We'll be back in a minute.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think about Joe Biden signing on with a talent agency?
You gotta be kidding. He signed on with a talent agency?
Yes, he's got some entertainment agents now.
I think he's got bigger problems than that. I really do. I think he's got much bigger problems than that, but I wish him well. We inherited a mess. This place is a mess. But it's quickly being solved, the problem. We're going to make America great again.
Yeah, he's going to... what a funny reaction, because I kind of had the same reaction. They've signed Joe Biden up to a talent agency. So, just to be clear here, he was incapable of holding news conferences and speaking to the American people, but he's going to go on the speaking circuit?
I didn't think it was a speaking circuit. He had been with this talent agency previously, years ago. He had signed with this talent agency, I think maybe when he was vice president, and then for whatever reason was not with them, parted ways, and then now he's back with the same agency. And my understanding is he was with them when he was at a memoir or something that was released.
Oh, when he was a vice, when he was out of office for
right.
4 years?
Okay. So I think that to me is what could be coming down the pipeline, is some sort of a book. That was my guess.
Doesn't that just chap your rear end?
It doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me. But he could probably earn $100,000, $150,000. These big corporations might still pay him to come and give a speech off a teleprompter at some event just to say they had a president there. You know, that's how Bill Clinton makes money these days.
Yeah, but he can barely do that. He runs the risk of tripping if he... has to walk a little bit. And I just don't think he's up for that. And I think Joe Biden, you know, came in, well, not necessarily from our opinion, but I think he was likable after being the vice president for Obama. I think he had this cool Uncle Joe, you know, vibe going on. And I think he left this term very unliked. People didn't disliked, I should say, because of the way things were handled, the fact that he or someone in the White House, maybe Dr. Jill Biden, refused to have him step down. He put our country's safety at risk, although some people tried to claim he was a hero and thinks that he deserves his head on Mount Rushmore. Maybe he's wanting to use this opportunity to have a book out to kind of, in his own words, with the help of somebody else, I'm sure.
Sure.
To like put out his story the way he wants it to be, like his legacy. You know what I mean? Like clear the air and defend some of what has been said about him.
I would agree, but I would say that it's not You wouldn't need a talent agency to publish a book. Just hire a publisher and they'll find you a ghostwriter. I mean,
no, Joe Biden needs a talent agency. Yeah, at his stage, he needs every bit of help he can get.
Most people have hired these. Did you ever have a talent agent when you were in TV?
No. Did you?
I made the mistake of hiring one. I say it's a mistake because I did it when I was looking for a job in South Carolina for my next job. And then I found my own job at Channel 4 because I came here with my wife to hand out resume tapes. And Channel 4 had a bunch of openings all at once in 1993 because of the Catholic Church debacle story, if you're familiar with that. So a bunch of people left all at once, and I got hired to kind of help out with... after that all happened, they needed people immediately. But because I had a talent agency contract, even though I found the job myself, I still had to pay them a percentage of my pay because there's a little clause in there that says we're a team. So in other words,
did they do anything for you? Negotiate?
Nothing. And the general manager at the TV station at the time, Alan Cohen, I know a lot of you will recognize that name, had a policy. And his policy was he didn't deal with talent agents. So I would have to go in and negotiate my own contract when the time came up. And yet I still had to pay that talent agent a percentage of my income for... I think the contract covered 4 years or something like that. And even after I announced that I was going to leave them, there was still an extended period of time. It was crazy. I was sorry that I did it. I had the wrong impression that their contacts would get me a network job or something like that. And obviously that did not happen.
So. Yeah. I've heard some weird things about some of these talent agents. I'm sure there's great ones out there who have landed people their dream jobs, and that's fantastic.
Sure.
And then
sure.
In that case, it's worth it.
Yep.
But they do take advantage. It's all this fine print. Like when I told you when I got my wisdom teeth out, there's something you have to sign in fine print that basically said there's a very small percentage, you know, chance where you could have temporary or permanent paralysis. Well, they won't do the procedure and extract your teeth unless you sign it. So
yeah.
I had to. And guess what? Half my mouth is numb years later. So they get you. It's the talent agents, it's every industry. They have their way of doing this, it seems.
Yeah, you sign away the liability to come back after them, I guess, in that particular case. There you have it. You may see Joe Biden at your next corporate event, so you know. They'll fly you halfway across the country to listen to Sleepy Joe. Certainly not. God, boy, I would hope that wouldn't happen. Maybe it'll be Elon Musk. I mean, he doesn't need the money.
Well, AOC thinks he's the most unintelligent billionaire she's ever met.
Have you heard that bite? But folks, I mean, honestly, have you heard AOC? It's laughable. In the last minute we have here, I want you to listen to what AOC said about the smartest guy in the world.
This dude is probably one of the most unintelligent billionaires I have ever met or seen or witnessed. Which, you know, you can probably even glean that from watching these people on TV. Anyways, all of that is to say is that they don't do their homework. Clearly, like, they're putting 19-year-olds in at the Treasury. This dude is not smart.
Imagine a bartender calling the guy who built Tesla and sends people to space regularly stupid. All she's ever accomplished in her life is bartending and getting elected to Congress. It's laughable. All right, we're back with Taylor Riggs, Fox Business, coming up.
All these tariffs, listen, you don't have to be smart economics to know. This pushes the EU.
25% tariffs.
This pushes the EU. This pushes Canada. This pushes Mexico into the arms of China.
The unintended consequences of it, we don't know yet, and they will likely be far larger than any of us can calculate.
Say goodbye to your avocado toast and your tequila. We are going to see real pain. And again, it's not actually going to address the fentanyl crisis.
These are our friends, and we are treating them like trash. We are bullying them. Now he's going to tax our tequila and avocados?
Yeah.
A little bit of the meltdown on the left over the whole tariff issue. Now, obviously, as a negotiating ploy, the art of the deal there, it's worked. I don't know how you could argue against that. Now, Rand Paul is not happy about this. Rand Paul has been very vocal about his opposition to this idea. He does not agree at all with the use of tariffs. And he's letting everybody know because he thinks that people maybe have forgotten that tariffs are a negative and it's not free trade and all of this stuff. Here's the problem, in my opinion. For too long, the United States has not been forceful with its trade partners. And sometimes you have to get their attention. That's what I think the tariffs do. Now, the question is, what is the real impact going to be in the short term on your products that you're buying, depending on what they are? We're fortunate enough to have Taylor Riggs with us today, host of the Big Money Show on the Fox Business Network. And Taylor, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I was just playing the audio bite of, Joe Scarborough and others melting down over these tariffs.
Dependable traffic.
Whoa. Sorry. That scared me to death, Carl. Sorry. sorry about that, Taylor. Probably scared you, too. I was just playing the soundbite of them melting down over the tariffs. What are the real impact, if any, we're seeing from these tariffs from China right now?
Yeah, so tariffs is a great conversation because we all want to get freaked out. Oh, my gosh, your prices are rising. Everything's going up 10 to 30%. My message to you is let's all take a deep breath. Every analyst note I've read has said that, at least in the short term, we can manage tariffs. 30, 60, 90 days, we all have enough supply chain flexibility. We all have enough inventory that for now things are going to be okay. Longer duration, that could be a different story. If this goes on something like 6 months, then we might be able to talk about raising prices and how much of an impact that is on the consumer. But again, I caution people, as we saw with Canada, as we saw with Mexico, these tariffs are a negotiating tactic. It is the opening bid, the opening offer.
Yes.
And let's see how China responds. And again, this is all a game of who needs who more. And I think Jamie Dimon over at JP Morgan, who runs the largest bank in the U.S., said it really nicely a few weeks ago. Nobody wants to pay higher prices. We've just come off of what's been a 20% increase in prices in the last 4 years. Nobody wants that. That being said, what is the cost for national security? What is the cost of getting manufacturing and protecting ourselves against China? Because newsflash, they hate us. Their goal is to wipe us out. So if you have to pay maybe a one-time adjustment in prices down the road, is that the price for national security? I think that's hard for viewers to hear because we just came off of a 20% price increase in 4 years. But if you took that out, I think actually people would be willing to say, I'm able to pay a little bit more to have something that provides a good U.S. job here that helps go feed a family here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, again, opening bids, opening conversations. I think, again, the message, at least for now in the short term, prices shouldn't go up a lot.
As far as rising prices, we've talked about the impact we've all had at the grocery store, and eggs have been a big topic of conversation because they're astronomically high right now. And we know that the good part of that is because of the chickens and the bird flu and the freak out about that. I mean, I think we were maybe talking to you a few weeks ago, and maybe you said you don't know if you see grocery prices coming down that much, or maybe I'm speaking out of turn there.
No, you're right. I think I was watching the CBS interview when on day four, they asked J.D. Vance, why aren't grocery prices coming down? And he kind of laughed. He said, can you guys give me a minute? I can't snap my fingers and reduce prices in 4 days. It takes a while to unwind what has been 4 years of a disaster, where egg prices are up 20% in 4 years. So I think clearly the administration has a massive mandate from the people to bring prices down. They are going to do that by first, they have to get these tax cuts passed, and they have to create more energy, because petroleum is in everything. If they can bring down the cost of energy, the cost of grocery store prices may come down. Again, with the tariffs, it's all about an offset.
Yes.
Remember, in 2016 to 2020, inflation was less than 2%, because even though you had tariffs, you had an offset by all of the very good supply-side economic policies that Trump brought in with the tax cuts, with low energy prices. So how much of that offset can sort of overcome any price increases that we get from tariffs? But they need to sort of get the ball rolling, too, on getting those tax cuts passed.
I would agree. Taylor Riggs, our guest from the Big Money Show on Fox Business. Taylor, you know, I'm watching these gas prices. I'm always mystified by it. It's been pretty steady here recently. I don't know that that's going up anytime soon or not. But when we talk about the Canada providing fuel to the United States, what have you learned about that? Because I saw a map the other day, I don't know how accurate it was, that said in order for Canada to get its oil from the western part of Canada to the eastern part of Canada, it flows through pipelines that come down into the United States before it goes back up there, because their environmentalists canceled all of their pipeline plans through the middle of Canada.
Yes.
Is that true?
You know, you bring up a great point. You know, I don't know the ins and outs of Canada, so I can research that and get back to you, I promise, next week.
Okay.
But what I will say is this shows how intertwined our economies are.
Yes.
So really what we can hear is how much more Canada needs us than we need them.
Yes.
The first reaction I saw on all these tariffs with Canada, massive dollar strength, which, by the way, erodes inflation when you have a strong dollar, and massive Canadian dollar weakness. Their currency was the weakest we haven't seen since 2003. That shows me immediately they need us more than we need them. Same with Mexico. The dollar rose, the Mexican peso fell to the lowest since March of 2022. They need us more than we need them. So again, with oil, and I know with energy, Trump carved out some exemptions because he does know how important energy is. And so energy was not going to be included in the tariffs. And of course, the tariffs were paused for 30 days while Canada gets its act together on the northern border. But the president, I do believe, is smart in knowing his priorities, which is energy. And so that is carved out as an exemption because that would hurt American people, and he does not want to do that.
Sure. No, of course not. Taylor, we'll be watching today. We always appreciate having you on. I know there were some economic numbers that dropped today, right? Jobs or earnings?
Yes. You know, we got lots of earnings, and we got the ADP private payroll report ahead of the big jobs day report that we're going to get on Friday. So far, the numbers show that this economy is relatively strong. People are hiring, and then we'll have to see how that flows in through the government numbers that they report on Friday. But so far, you have a relatively strong economy, which is a good starting place.
Yep, absolutely. We'll be watching today a noon to 1 Central Time on the Big Money Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care. Always love getting her on. She's always so pleasant talking about these complicated issues. Kind of spells them out.
Yeah, I think that's a really special skill when you're able to take something so complex and break it down and help those of us who are not used to the terminology actually understand it.
Absolutely. All right, so I'm gonna confess something to you
when we come back here after the break. Something happened to me yesterday that I'm very embarrassed to admit, but I want to help you avoid the same problem. So I'll get to that when we come back in just a minute.
If it looked like a duck, walked like a duck, and quacked like a duck, it's a duck.
Well, you know, I kind of pride myself on this, and probably because of that pride, I've been pretty critical of people who've fallen victim to these phishing scams over the years. I think to myself, how could you be so stupid? Why would you not have realized that that was a scam before you did it? And ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mark, and yesterday I fell for one of those phishing scams. And I want to warn people about it. I'm embarrassed that I did it, but I want to warn you. I was distracted. I'm sitting at my desk in there, and we were getting ready to go into a meeting, and I get this text on my phone. And last year, when my wife and I, when we traveled to Florida for a vacation, I signed up for one of those FastPass accounts. And I also did one in New Jersey one time called the Easy Pass or something like that.
They're reciprocal.
I've got accounts in two different states. So when you're going through toll roads, you don't have to stop. You just roll right on through, and then you can put money in this account and it pays the tolls for you. So I do have these, right? I get a message on my phone, and this is what it says. Pay your fast track lane tolls by February 4th in order to avoid a fine. You can pay now by replying yes to this text message, and then that will activate the link. So I'm sitting there doing other things. I'm like, man, I thought I got a notification one time that we owed some money on one of those accounts. I'm like, this is dumb. Well, if I can pay it right on my phone, I'm just going to do it right now. And I clicked on the link. And it takes me to the second page. And again, I don't pay any attention to what it says at the very top. It just says Easy Drive. And pay online. And it asks for your name, your address, and then you go to the next page where it asks for your card information. I put it all in there. I put it all in there without even looking, and I hit send. And then I got a spinning wheel of death, right, on it, like it was processing it. And then I looked closer, and I realized that it says Easy Drive MA. Well, I've never been to Massachusetts. So I thought, uh-oh, that's a problem. And then I looked closer at the website, and it was clearly not a state of Massachusetts website. So I freaked out, and I called my bank immediately. Got somebody from the fraud division on the phone over there. And I'm like, okay, you have to tell me if anybody's tried to charge anything on my card in the last few minutes. And sure enough, in the 3 minutes it took me to get a hold of them, somebody had tried to establish an Apple Pay account using my credit card. And we were able to cancel the card, like, right then. No charges had come through yet, but somebody was... She said they'll often do that to try to make sure it's a legitimate card. And then if they get a positive from that, then they'll go out and buy something with it. So we were able to stop it before that happened. But for heaven's sake, don't fall for that like I did. If you've ever had one of those Easy Pass things, toll cards, that I just wasn't thinking. And I should have known, because I'm hypersensitive about those things with emails and everything else, but I knew I had one of those passes, and it, for some reason, it just made sense to me that I probably had an outstanding balance that I hadn't paid.
Well, and are they tracking these things? Like, are they just guessing and they're sending a bunch of these people messages? Because I'll get emails saying, you know, your latest purchase from Walmart. Well, I'll shop at Walmart every now and then, so it would make sense. And so I just know that, okay, well, I didn't go on that day, and I if I can check my bank account and see it didn't go through, but it's a link, because they want you to, you know, click on it and,
sure,
you know, freak out and say, well, I didn't buy anything from Walmart. It's so easy to fall for it. They've gotten so creative, and yeah, you typically think, like, I hate to say it, but like older people, you know, are going to fall for it. And that's just not the case anymore.
Why do you hate to say it?
Because I'm not trying to hate on the older.
Suggesting that I'm old?
No, you're very young. You're very youthful.
I am. I
no,
agree
no.
With you.
Even yeah, older. Yeah. I think of people like in their like late 80s who are going to like fall for it.
You know
what I mean?
Yes.
And
I fell for it.
It's no, I'm telling you. I think people, teenagers and beyond. I think my generation. They've become so slick at fooling us. It's easy to fall for it.
Well, don't fall for that. If you get a notification that you,
clearly you'd have to cast a wide net to find people who actually had one of those Easy Pass things. Well, you probably got one because you travel to Florida all the time.
Yes,
right,
but.
Yeah,
I deleted it because I knew I didn't have it.
My dad has one of those easy passes, so I'll make sure. I bet you he'll get targeted.
He could. Yeah. I don't know how they even got the phone number to send it to me, but don't be fooled like Mark did. Fortunately, I caught it before it cost me any money yesterday. Now I got to go get a new stupid debit card today. That's going to be a pain.
They'll send you one because they want you to start spending money again.
Yeah, but it takes 7 to 10 days. I need my card. All right, Brian Kilmeade coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Kim and Carl and Sue and I will see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.